Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing our conversation that was just done, recorded on November 16th, this last Thursday, with Dr. Frank Tamburi, the Trump Report, that we've been doing for, God, over 8 years. And there is a lot to be gleaned from our conversation on the culture aspect of what's happening worldwide. We continue. Is what's coming. It's a crash. And the banks aren't going to survive this without some money from you. And then there goes the debt more. $30 trillion, $50 trillion, a quadrillion dollars. What's the difference? Pretty soon you're talking real money you can ignore. So this is happening. So what am I looking at? Man, I just want to be able to survive and thrive. I'll take care of it. I got communication, I got solar, I get the water, we have start building, and I got filling my time. And what it reminds me of was what Reagan did after the 96 convention. They went in, this is when they took his microphone, you're not allowed, you can't be, and you're not, and then they selected Ford. So they get Ford, Gerald Ford, as a nominee. Ronald Reagan went up and gave some speech, and everybody in the hall was like, we did the wrong guy. This needs to be the guy. Because, man, that was awesome. So, and he was a governor of California. He was president of the Screen Actors Guild in the 50s, going up against communism, how they infiltrated, Hollywood. And all this stuff that's happening now, they were warning back in the 50s. It's a Marxist mechanism. It's a process by which they take over general public opinion, and it's a propagandized thing, and Reagan saw it. So then he becomes governor, and he goes, okay, I'm governor now, and he did whatever he was going to do there. When he wanted to run for president in 96, he got screwed, by the Republican Party, aka same thing happened, Ron Paul, Trump, the same kind of crap. So what did he do? He went to his ranch in California, got a chainsaw out, and just started working. They just work in the land, keeping in shape, keeping up on what's up, going to work. Did that for a couple of years, just keep myself busy. Then comes back, he starts running for it, and with a totally different tactic and different people of kind of and bypassing La Machine, and then he becomes president. So what am I looking? I'm thinking, yep, when this stuff all goes and it's getting bad, sometimes there's nothing you can do. It's just a timing thing. You just go, relax, grow your plants, get your hookah gardens in, your irrigation system, the fencing, you put effort towards that, and then you see what happened. And I'll end on this. This is my mindset. We took a little trailer that my sons and I, when they were teenagers, back in the early 2000s, like 2001, before 9/11, and I remember we got to have a motorcycle. We got to have a dirt bike. I have a dirt bike. Every son's got to have a dirt bike. Okay, well, how are you going to haul it? We got a van and a car. Man, how are we doing this dirt bike? You got to have a trailer, So the trailer cost, say, $1,000. Well, if we buy the steel and get some welding equipment and welders and all that and rack and everything, it'd probably be less than $1,000, and we would have the equipment to build other stuff. I still have that welder. So I go, we'll learn to build. We got to do some trig on, you know, the angle of the front, you know, forks, you know, of how the sides come in to do for the hitch, and we'll, you know, learn to cut this, weld that, and then all we did, we fabricated everything except the fenders, the hitch, and the axle. And I knew what axle to get because my father, the Alcan Traveler, it's a, you know, kind of you can build to the axle thing. So I go to Glendale. I say, all right, I want this axle. I need it to these dimensions. I'm going to build a trailer around that axle because I hated the fact you put a 4x8 sheet of plywood. It better have like an inch clearance on each side and be wide enough and long enough. And then I'll do the ramp, and then we'll make it point front. We can get three motorcycles on there, whatever. That was the deal. So we build this trailer. It's been decades we've had this thing. Then as we're going down to pick up our building supplies down in Cochise County, Southeast Arizona, you know, the fender started, had a little rust thing, and it was a bad weld that Donna had fixed by another guy. It did a bad job. Boom. It's, you know, it's coming off. We got to get there. We can't make it back to Phoenix like this. We got to, I don't know, like a ratchet scrap the crap out of it. But I'm like, we need to get this fixed. So she researches, you know, while we're down there, and dropped it off and had them do it. We go that night after doing our workshop building thing to go pick up the trailer. We go in, and it's out in the middle of nothing. You're out in big farm fields. Down Cochise County is just desert, wells, and agriculture. You know, they might have some cows and stuff out there, but it is just a valley of that, like a John Wayne movie, man. You know, but they're growing stuff. In the middle of all this, of course, you need a machine shop. You need somebody to fix your tractor if I laid me up, if I got fashioned this metal of freaking, it's not working better than somebody who's going to do it. You know, we're not waiting. We can't, of the factory, it costs $1 billion and wait forever and kind of need somebody knows what's up. So this place was big Quonset huts that were kind of, you know, V'd together or, you know, intersected, and they had buildings. So he had probably at least 20,000 square feet. And you looked inside, and it looked like a Tesla factory. It was all white, epoxied, clean, had, you know, all the mills and the lathes and the grinders and the, you know, chop saws. It was just, you know, it looked like all of Derek's machines that he has up, except it was really clean and organized. And he's got pretty clean and organized, but, you know, he doesn't have white walls everywhere and white floor and white everything. So you go in, this thing's insulated. Quonset huts had insulation on the outside, the inside. He had, you know, a high-tech, you know, point-of-sale system, had big screens in the office that you could, and it was a going concern. But the guy was about 28 years old. And I'm going, this is awesome that they had this capability out in the middle of the freaking desert. I'm talking, you know, 100 miles from, you know, the biggest city, semi-city where Home Depot is kind of thing. So I'm going, yep, I guarantee this boy would be busy. He's keeping all the combines working, you know. So I go like that, and I said, all right. And he went out and he showed me fantastic, way overkill repair on this fence. That thing ain't going in. He goes, yeah, I have one of my young guys, you know, new guys work on this. And I'm going, young guy? Hell, you're like in your 20s, man. What is this guy, 13 or something? So he took some scrap metal that they had, and they fashioned, fixed it, super fixed it. I go, man, you didn't fix it. You super fixed it for like $80. And I'm going, you the freaking man. So I did a quick little interview. You know, I asked him some questions. He was the son of a farmer out there that, you know, same problem, you know, need all kinds of stuff that are delayed for whatever. So he realized that, well, I can learn how to do the, get me a lathe. So he got a lathe, and he started with that. Then he gets a mill, then he gets. So he built this freaking awesome big facility. Now, how he financed it, or his dad got him started, or he just had some big orders and did whatever, doesn't matter. It's a thriving, a going business. And what is it? If you can fix things, heal people, that kind of stuff. And this kid, he didn't, I go, did you go to Millinora School of trade of something? And he goes, nope, self-taught. I started with a little lathe. You know, it's like, you know, do this and do that, and it makes this. I learned it. He hires guys in there. He's got a thriving business in his 20s making bank because he knows how to do something. And I was so impressed with the facility. I want to have this guy on. So we got the thing. I want this guy to come on the show and talk about how he micro'd everything. It's like, look, you're going to need people to be able to do stuff. And I, even though it's 3 hours away, you know, from here for media, I know that there's a place with a young guy that will get it done, does high quality, make it go work for a fair price. I'm glad I know that guy's there. Will I use him? He's definitely going to get a shot at fixing, doing, repairing, making whatever the heck I want. Now, can I find stuff closer here? Probably, but that's the standard that I'm looking for. This, you support the local guys here doing it with a mindset like that. He reminds me of my sons and my daughters and my son and daughters-in-law. This is the mindset of what's going to survive and thrive in the zombie apocalypse that be a-coming. And if you don't know people like this or places like this, you're going to be the one waiting. As we're coming back, we're down there. Well, the tires blew, you know, on the Enclave. So we had to put the donut on. We get and got that repaired. They were busy as heck, too, you know, the tire guys. Then we're just about in the valley, and her super Christmas tree, you know, neon electronic warning light conversation computer thing says there's something wrong with your charging system. Got a service charging system, charging system, charging system. So we stopped at my son's in the East Valley out there, and he has one of those things you plug into your car and do this, do that, turn this on, and it does a diagnostic. Well, it was saying the alternator was bad. It was only putting out 11.3 volts, and that's not enough to charge. You have to have like at least, you know, like 14 or something. So I'm going, all right, the alternator's bad. Called Firestone, called all around. The earliest we could get was this Friday. We had to wait 2 or 3 days to be able to get the alternator replaced, and it was $1,000. Who's making the money now? The guy's doing these repairs. Now, once I got into it, I'm like, damn, I know it's $1,000. That was a pain in the butt. But one of my son-in-law.
Hey, Ernie, really, you have to, this is not right. I mean, Just finish your point. For the record, you started at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's now an hour and a half later.
I'm finishing. You're dragging it out, Frank. You're dragging it out.
No, I'm not
dragging it out. Because I could have been done
by now.
I could already been done. You're dragging it out.
I'll finish. And then, I may as well go.
Hold on. So then I go to my son-in-law's. He has a full, you know, fitted-out garage. I go in, take it all apart. That was a pain in the ass. It took me 5 hours. But I saved, because it's discounted in the heart, I probably saved at least $700. $700 because I knew how to do it, and I didn't have to use my phone to call a handyman to show up in a limo to fix my car. Because you know how to do it yourself. And you find people like that, and you can do it yourself, then you save yourself. And that poverty is what made me a mechanic. I just want everybody to know that. All right. I'm done. Go, Frank.
Go, Frank. Yeah, I don't know who else who's left listening if they're trying to have us have a conversation. So for the record, I enjoy listening to Ernie. I always do. But just for the record,
you I'm watching. I gave it to you first, and you sent it to me. That's what you get.
I know. And I was so polite. I was simply asking about what big picture you may have seen in the last week or so since we chatted.
That's my big picture.
Yeah, it's a big picture, right? So anyway, just for the record, generally we start around 9 o'clock and we finally get started. It's 10:30 now, for those of you that are fast-forwarding trying to find me here. 10:30, I think I probably interrupted a couple times about a total. I think I've been watching the clock about 5 minutes total of time in the hour and a half. Nevertheless, Ernie's thinking that I'm drawing it out and interrupting. So now after an hour and a half, let's see, I'm curious, audience, how long it'll be before Ernie says I'm hogging the microphone and what am I doing? I don't let him talk. So let's let everyone just watch the clock now. Let's just see. All right, I will not be an hour and a half. Yes, I am interested in some of Ernie's thoughts on some of this, but I just want to point that out, because if I don't say it now, you're going to think I'm making it up later, when in 5 minutes you jump in and go, what are you doing? Come on, come on. You're like rambling.
Oh, and I have one more thing, but I'll do that later.
No. So anyway, for whoever's still left, you know, I think it's a fascinating discussion. I wanted to about, you know, at least for me, seeing this country change. You know, there's been, you know, obviously everything's in flux and we're seeing a lot of changes going on. But, you know, will I be able to look back in history and say this week of mid-November was the week? Probably not. There was one event that ironically and very fascinatingly deals with Marvel Comics that I wait for the punchline. And yes, it's a very serious, very poignant cherry on top of what I'm going to be talking about here. It deals with Marvel, and it's not the Marvels, believe it or not. But I feel like, you know, Ernie talks about Generation Next, and it's a great way of putting it. But Generation Next is, you know, obviously the next generation, with always different generations. I've been studying that a little bit between the boomers and the millennials and of course my daughter, who is Generation Alpha, which I didn't realize. So she's Alpha, and Alpha, she's six. Alpha is the first generation that was born after 2000. So it's the first of the new millennium's Alpha, whereas Generation Z, I guess, was the one leading up to 2000. And they're looking at also how Generation the Zoomers right now, Zoomers Z, which is the last generation, they were the ones born during 9/11. And now they're coming of age, right? That generation is now of a voting age. They're starting to become a voting age. And who are they? You know, who are these young people? And that doesn't include just the millennials as well. The millennials are definitely a lost generation. They're all screwed up. It's not their fault. It's their parents, and their parents are my generation, a lot of them, you know, from the born in the 80s. I mean, I had my child much later, but anyway. Generation Z, you know, who are they? I mean, they're born through 9/11. They were born and they saw their family's home. A lot of them were kicked out of their homes in 2008 when the housing crisis hit. They are also born with the iPhones. They're being born with, you know, a whole different view of technology, good or bad. They've been born with technology without any real stewardship, any guidance with technology. And what I mean by that is because, A, adults have been fighting their own fights all this time and not really watching their kids. They also think their kids are living the life the way that they grew up. Oh, yeah, I had video games. I had Pac-Man in my day. It's the same thing. No. And also, you know, guidance on social media. As adults are figuring out how it's changed our lives so much, you know, how do you handle it with a kid going through puberty? And technology at their fingertips that's more advanced than what most older people are aware of. Because, you know, they're on TikTok, and most adults don't even know what TikTok is, right? So they are, I don't think it's understood, in my opinion, what this generation, it's almost like this generation is like completely forgotten, for different reasons. And they're having to figure out this world, you know, and between dating, how the dating world has changed upside down. Why it is that most of the boys are all, you know, they're 22 and they're living in their mom's basement and they're afraid to talk to a girl, and others are all going overseas to find, you know, overseas girlfriends from the Philippines or what have you. Women not being able to find men and not understanding what's going on. I mean, I'm not going to hit too many topics right off the bat.
I'm back sperm. There's
so many things that generation is dealing with, and it's all kind of scrambled up in, you know, what's left over of American patriotism, of nationalism, and I'm not saying it the way they look at, you know, Trump stuff. I just mean what it is to be an American. They don't even know. And not to mention they've been brought up in schools that conservatives or middle America just recently have been figuring out has been co-opted by the left or different agendas, and they had no idea. So these kids are getting mixed messages from their parents, from the schools, from the media, when parents aren't even looking at the media, and then they're just parking their kid in front of the media, and then YouTube, and you know, it's like the endless, you know, rabbit hole, whatever they're watching, peer pressure, censorship issues, you know, what's allowed, what's not, you know, I have to use pronouns, what's you know, being able to address a woman or a girl, you know, do you, God forbid, you call her a girl and you get in trouble, you get fired for this, if you happen to wear an American flag at school. I mean, just the rules keep changing on all of us, especially those of us who are older, who know how these rules are being changed and upended. But if you're, you know, 14, I mean, how do you make sense of all of this? And we're 22 at this point. And that's the generation that is the earlier of that generation are getting into the voting, sphere. They're also getting into the multimedia sphere. They're starting to have a lot more YouTube channels. They're starting to express themselves. And that has been fascinating to see. And what's happened the last few weeks over the conflict in Israel and Palestine is probably the most blatant example of how much of people haven't seen this before. It's like a you know spotlight on it with five alarms that this country has changed. And it's not just over Israel and Palestine, but it's much more than that. You know, I'll tell you a quick story that kind of sets this up a bit is. When I was younger, I kind of told my family that the day that I thought I was a man, and that's kind of a strange way of putting it, was when I stood up to the first adult who I respected. And I never stood up to anybody. I was a young person. I mean, if I was getting beat up, I would, but I was a martial arts for like 20 years. But I just mean that I always was respectful of my elders, would always sit back and listen. I believe I'd always listen to different perspectives and my grandparents from the Depression, what have you. And if we ever got my grandfather really angry, I mean, he threatened to kick us out of the house because, you know, we were living there on his good graces. So it was a lot of anxiety growing up. And one morning, I don't know, something about politics came up, and I disagreed with him about something. It had something to do with how the blacks were being handled in Philadelphia. You know, my grandfather lived in cities that were all whites. And then they moved out and the blacks moved in and the cities he grew up in were all destroyed the way he saw it. And so anyway, it had something to do with that. I don't want to get into the details. It doesn't matter. But I disagreed with it about something. And he got upset and I got nervous because I never disagreed with him about anything. Of course, that's turned into me and Arnie disagreeing about everything. So it's kind of like it's called a Tuesday now or Thursday. But back then I never did. And I went to school. I was scared as hell. I thought he literally was going to kick us out of the house. And I came home, and instead of him infuriated and yelling at me, which I was expecting, he sat up on his chair, he was smiling, and he had on the table 50 newspaper clippings, because my grandfather, before the internet, he's the guy that would clip out articles and put them filed in his filing cabinet, you know, to make points. It's kind of what I do sometimes now. But he had this whole case made out, and he was excited, and he wanted to chat with me, and we had an actual conversation. And that was the moment he stopped treating me as just some kid, grandkid. He thought of me as at least an equal to the point he can have a conversation, and it changed.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
You USA News Update. The Biden administration is urging Israel to do more to avert civilian casualties as the country ramps up its military campaign in southern Gaza.
We do not want to see a military campaign in the south that looks like the north. We do not want to see the same level of mass displacement.
State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said the U.S. is monitoring the military operation very closely. Fighting resumed this week in the Gaza Strip following the end of a week-long pause in fighting. Indonesia's Merapi volcano erupted on Sunday, resulting in the deaths of 11 climbers with a dozen more missing. The eruption has blanketed nearby cars, roads, and villages in ash, prompting evacuations. Congress must soon decide whether to approve more funding for Ukraine in its war with Russia.
Without congressional action, the administration will run out of resources by the end of the year to procure more weapons and equipment for Ukraine.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're talking with Dr. Frank Tamburi. We've done the Trump report since the summer of 2015 of Trump coming down the escalator, and it's turned into a cultural view of America and the world. And this particular show was taped on the 16th of November, just this last Thursday. Now, this was prior to the election just yesterday, Sunday the 19th, of Javier Milei, a narco-capitalist, just an anarchist, to the president of Argentina. Now, this is just a worldwide cultural phenomenon that we're starting to see, and we've been tracking culturally what's happening around the world on the Trump report. We don't do a lot of politics. I mean, of course, you know, we're heavily involved in a lot of areas and so on, but I just see what's happening as a cultural thing. And we've been discussing that in pop culture, movies, magazines, newspaper, comic books, TV shows. We've really had a preemptive look at what's coming and what's here. So that's what this discussion is about, going over the news and so on. Now, normally we do at least 3 to 5 hours. You know, this particular show is over 4 hours long. If you want to get the whole thing, go to DeclareYourIndependenceWithErnestHancock.com or FreedomsPhoenix.com, and at the top right you'll see the link to the shows. The little banner ad there, and it goes in, and it's November 16th, 2023, the full show. Now, this is just a snippet. I wanted to give you guys just the fun that we have, and it's, we're not going to be able to get the whole show in there, of course, you know, probably like half of it, but you'll get the idea of how we view the world.
That concept, and some of you guys are going, where am I going with this, is that is what I feel has happened this week. You know, give or take a few weeks, you can say it's been brewing for a while, but I just feel like it's come to a head where this generation, Generation Next, what's Generation Z and the millennials and the online communities that have been solidifying, they have been in the shadow of the boomers. They've been in the shadow of Generation X, which is me. You know, those that are in there in the 40s, 50s, you know, 70s, those that will not give up power that we see in Congress and elsewhere, right? That generation is not stepping down. Normally in time, and, you know, if I'm wrong in American history on this, but as far as I know, typically, you know, you see a generational, smooth generational transfer of power. You know, people hit around 60, 70 maybe, that's really old. You know, you retire and go off with the grandkids and the new generation comes in and you get fresh blood and you have like this kind of flow of different generations. And I don't know, you know, if you have a quick comment that you think otherwise, but I feel like there has been this stopgap where the baby boomers, for a whole probably bunch of reasons, but they will not relinquish power. I mean, that's why Donald Trump and Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi. What's that?
They can't.
They can't.
Well, they can't relinquish power because their point is to be there to, you know, wield the power until they turn into a dried corpse, Dianne Feinstein, you know, on the floor. I mean, you know, this is they're there to do what they do. And when you look at the wealth as accumulated by elected politicians, that is, it's like you could be known as the person that freed the people. It's like in Gladiator, Marcus Aurelius, I will give you power, Maximus, to one end, to restore the Republic and rid her of the corruption. All right? Well, that's not what those want to do. So how do you get a replacement of principled young people? They're not going to, I don't want anything to do with this. And the ones that do immerse themselves in that system, of which I know plenty, they are, you can see it. It's a type of person. It's a sociopath. It's one that's willing, they value, you know, status and shiny badges and, you know, initials after their name and accolades and, you know, Klaus Schwab likes them or something more than they do freedom, the well-being of their community, or, you know, it's just they got a different standard.
Well, I agree in a sense, but I would disagree because I think there's something different. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I have speculation and this kind of becomes a different topic not to get into, but look, you know, power always, you know, corrupts, and there's always been powerful people. There's always been sociopaths, roughly 3 to 6% of the population. It wavers when people figure them out. So that's always been there, but it's just, there's been this power hold on that I've never seen, especially at a time you would think you would need new blood. I mean, just think about this. The technological revolution has gone on since at least the VCR came out in our day, and grandma couldn't program the VCR, right? It kind of started with that. That was the joke. You need grandkids to program the VCR. Now it's turned into like even having your own kids have to sit there and show you how to use the phone or whatever else. Things change so much. You know, I've commented a number of times when the Anti-Patriot Act was pushed through, and John McCain was one of the authors, I think, on it, and he didn't even own an email account. He was asked, like, don't you use email? He says, oh, I heard about it. Some of my staffers use it, but I don't need that. And meanwhile, he was writing the Anti-Patriot Act, giving the government the ability to go into everyone's email. He didn't even have an email. So, I mean, that just says a lot how the generation and technological gap is, that it's like wider than the Grand Canyon. And so you would think you would need more new blood. People understand crypto. People understand what open source means. I mean,
they need to understand basic principles. Once you do that, it clears the mind fog.
So where is this coming in at? And it's almost like the younger generation, they have the skills, they're the awareness of what this new generation, of what the new world is. the world that I keep saying, I know, they're still too old for this, but I think Generation Alpha, my daughter's generation, and I've said many times on your show that I think that's the generation that really, when they get older, are going to have to change the world in a profoundly different way about how we communicate, a network society. Our generations are still, you know, I know you and many of us have kind of been ahead of the curve on it. We see a decentralized world. We see a lot of this on our own. But I think at our core, we still are coming from a world that we're never going to be able to break out of how we see just basic human interaction.
Humanity always marches on.
The new generation, I think there's going to be a generation coming up that, you know, it'll be globalism, but without the, you know, the Schwab and the globalist agenda that we're trying to fight. I think it's going to happen more organically in a different way without the force. I think it's going to happen. It just has to happen properly, and the new generation has to figure this out.
Yeah, it has to have people's money.
How does information go? It's always been top down, and now it's bottom up. Everything, and it's undermining everything, including what we're seeing with the Candace Owens deal. So that generation is going to make that decision, and maybe that's what the older generations are afraid of. Maybe because
they're afraid of Russell Brand.
What the young people know and what they can do. But I think it's potentiated because the young people, in fact, like children, and this is going on for a while since the birth of the teenager. You know, it used to be that once you turned 16, you became a man, you know, and all of a sudden you went boy to man. Same thing with women. And then all of a sudden the teenager came and created a few years gap in there. You know, it's kind of like you're in between. And then college comes in, and then more graduate school, and that became an extension of teenage years. And it just kept stretching this thing out. And then, of course,
now you're on your parents' insurance until you're 27 or something.
Exactly. It's like they're calling it like the second childhood, or you got two different adulthoods. There's all kinds of books on this sort of thing. But it's not normal.
Whatever you're to watch.
Throughout evolution, that's not how human beings have operated. To have this extended youthfulness where you don't have responsibilities, you don't have kids, now you're just playing around video games and sex or whatever else that they're doing, and drugs and check out. Not to mention, there's a lot of reasons to do so. You know, if you're being told that you're a toxic man and this is a problem and everyone's got debt and everything's everything's depressing, I'll just sit there and do weed and go on virtual reality. And I don't blame the kids. But this has been going on for a while, where Tim Pool even made a mention of this, interestingly, how his generation and younger, it's almost like they're kind of like a kid that becomes an adult in the house, but they've never stood up to their father yet, and the parents or the father still treats the 25-year-old as if they're 14. And it's a great apropos comment, and that's why I brought up my conversation with my grandfather, how I will never forget that moment where something shifted from a boy to a man, you know, however it happened. And I think as a generation, these young people are kind of caught in that. I think for many of these reasons, cultural, the video games, whatever. And so they haven't really felt that they can supplant and step up and take over the other generation. So the other generation, you've got all the money, the power, you've got the American empire on its last legs. And hence, that's why a lot of it, they don't want to leave, because you have all of these lobbyist groups that are holding on to the George Bush, Dick Cheney, you know, view of the world, of the neocon, and the world needs us, world's policemen, and, you know, blah, 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 Team America, this kind of stuff. And it goes deeper than that.
Yeah.
The way, and that world doesn't exist anymore, but the money is being thrown in to keep these people in power of whatever's left until they die in office, and the young people don't want to take it over because they've been either afraid or they've been told to.
Okay, I want to comment on this.
So, quickly, because I still, this is just a setup, but go ahead.
Wow. Big setup. All right. So, a couple of things.
Oh, I still have an hour and 15 minutes.
That's fine. You get right, yours. Go. It's not like you don't get to express yourself.
I know. Well, I owe 5 minutes, but go ahead, go.
Okay. One thing I wanted to make sure I just got in. Last night, I was at my daughter Sierra's, you know, using her garage to fix a car.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yeah, we were talking about this kind of stuff. And she goes, yeah, I got an email. You know, they promised me $750 you know, that their senator got mail or something, $750 from the government for being a good little taxpayer, okay? Paying your taxes on time. So some reward, $750 from the government, they love me, okay? And I'm like, what? She goes, hey, man, I'm just telling you what's what. Then in her direct deposited in her bank account was $500. She's like, so where'd the other $250 go? And he's like, yeah, whatever, don't care. But that would be interesting right there. Yeah, we love you long time. Here's $700. We're going to send you $750. You get $500. You got $500, sir. Don't bitch, okay? So it, she's just like, yeah, whatever. I mean, finally just you throw up your hands and just whatever. They gave me only $500 of my money back, you know? So that was interesting, one, that they're doing it. Two, that they sent, you know, only a part of it, and from out of the blue. So I'm going, there's something weird going on there, and I'll examine that later, whatever. What I wanted to put in on what you're talking about, Generation Next and everything, is the reason that I brought up this rural kid that did his super-duper machine shop. That is what, just like Frank's always been saying, it's going to be those that fix things and do and heal and whatever. It's, you'll find access to these on alternative internet media. A lot of people growing up with the internet don't know what it used to be like. If you didn't have the Yellow Pages, you didn't know what was up. You didn't could find anybody for anything. Now that's kind of going away, and then it's online. Who do you trust? I mean, you got to, you know, do your own verification and find out. But this is one thing. David Friedman, Milton Friedman's son, you know, he's always at Porkfest and so on. 2 years ago, and then I talked to him again this summer about the conversation we had before. 2 years ago, I remember talking to him and a couple of things. He, inflation will never, you know, whatever. Then it did. I go, I don't know. I think that inflation thing, you know, took off. Just saying, you know. But the he was pontificating on how the intelligentsia and the elite and going to think us through and think tank of something in the opinion of the elderly is going to determine whatever influence that they would have. And I'm just going, I don't think you understand what's going on. I am of the opinion that when you create ubiquitous access to the internet, when you get something like, here comes Starlink, you are going to have the scale will level out with the influence of the influencers now that are about watch me put on my makeup and watch me, you know, build my fence and watch me talk about this news thing and watch me whatever YouTube channels and stuff that are done. All of that perspective come from people that have access to broadband internet. However they get it. And generally, it was going to be you had to be in or near a large city. If you live like when we're because McLean, something, whatever, it's a small McNeil, I think it is, out in Cochise County. The reason they have the opt out to where you go get your permits and not get any permits is because nobody lived there. It's on the Mexican border, it's desolate, barren valleys of just freaking nothing. So they said, all right, you guys come here, build, do whatever you want, be free. You've got womb. Here, these people came. What kind of people? Leave me alone as a people. I'll build it myself, people. You get out of my way, people. So that is, all of a sudden, then what? They get broadband. You get some Starlink, you get some broadband, you got a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old that now is able to transmit to the planet their perspective. This happens all over the plains, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Montana, areas of Texas. All of a sudden, you get to have the influencers or people that are influencing from their perspective, their reality, their needs, their use, their experiences, that they are putting that out to the planet, where before it was only those that lived in the cities. The ones that were in high density, the ones that were affected the most by politicians bitching about some politician, a politician did something, some government, whatever the heck. While these people that live out rural go, what you talking about, boy? I know nothing about no government, okay? This is what the influencers are facing, be it a government or think tank or whatever, just a general public opinion of half of the American population that didn't have an opinion that was shared. You're not allowed. You can't. You know, you're not on the system. Now that the system is available for them to share their experience and perspective and what they're doing and what they find of as importance, that their community, their small town, their family, their brothers, sisters, siblings, parents, you know, in-laws, that is what's coming online now. And that, as I'm going to David, I'm going, look, you haven't had to compete with that before. I go, what are you going to do when this one kid comes up with economics of I don't give a crap and you're full of it and this is how I do it and I'm using alternative vendors with alternative currency of agri.marketplace, of blackmarketfridays.com, of, you know, pirate to bite me. Then what? How are you compete with that? What are you going to say? Wait, they shouldn't be allowed to? You're going to have a government, you know, you're not allowed to have employees, you don't have enough initials after your name? And I can see these people that I talked to, it never occurred to them that they're going to be overwhelmed by public opinion of half of the population in America that has not had access until recently of broadband media. That's what's
right.
Coming.
And the thing is, it's a great point. And that's the technical. That's a technical reason, right? From the technology causing that.
That's
then
been
it's also
suppressed.
Happening, right? Exactly. And if there's one group that's been suppressed, probably the most
libertarian
degree that's being shown right now. And I won't belabor this point because you guys all love it. And that's Donald Trump. You know, the whole Trump phenomena is a perfect example. You know, they were chatting about why the Republicans keep screwing up. And one of the issues, of course, they're trying to blame it all on Trump.
Because they can't control the rule influence.
But the thing is with Trump is that what the RNC doesn't understand is they keep thinking Trump's a Republican, so now they can have all these Republicans on his coattails, and if Trump, you know, somehow they kick him out, everyone's going to switch to Ron DeSantis as plan B. Like, they have no concept that if Trump's not the nominee, DeSantis is probably just as good as putting in out as, you know, Joe Biden at this point. Like, they don't understand that Trump is not a Republican. People voting for him, like, I think it's like 20% of people voted for Trump in 2016 voted for Obama. You know, Trump supporters are not Republicans. They're looking at him as a third party. And many of these people came out to vote for him like they did Ron Paul, I may add. They came out who had never voted before or haven't voted in decades. They came out for a different reason. So they're feeling like people who didn't have a voice, he's giving a voice to them. Not to make this a whole sales pitch for Donald Trump, but it's an example of different communities that didn't have a voice. And the technology, like you're saying, it's giving a rural America a voice. It's not just all focused on New York City and L.A.
And Central Command is freaking out. I got to give you a perfect example. This just came in.
Quick, Ernie, quick. You're drawing this out, as you said.
It's all right. We got hours to be mostly frank. It's all good. So then we had Jay Noon that's doing battle with Child Protective Services because his wife, you know, had the child for a little bit in the car that was on and heated, and it was fine. You know, it's just the man trying to, you're a bad parent and we want to take and do, and he wouldn't play. He goes, nope, I'm not contracted with you. Nobody was harmed. It's all good. Bite me. Go to court and whatever. He got going back and forth, and he ran for office there and make the point that this child protective thing, this racket that's going on in New Hampshire, how corrupt they are, lost children, killed children, they seize them to adopt them out, you know, got a little blonde boy kind of crap. So he's really hammered on these guys. He just got discovery from the prosecution, you know, on the appeal that they're doing or something. Well, he goes 108 pages of discovery, and 35 pages was pages of Freedom's Phoenix. So I'm going, what? So they had, they're just like, and what are they going to say? What do they say? And, you know, some of it had stuff from Autonomy that he's associated with doing his man camp and all that. So what are they saying? You have these government agencies going, see, they're bad parents. They believe this Freedom's Phoenix stuff. Autonomy.
Well, it goes, and you're seeing this just the last few weeks even further. It's just fascinating. The guy that raided Nancy Pelosi's husband's house or whatever, I guess there was a trial. They're in court now talking about that case. And apparently the defense is saying that he was a victim because he listened to far-right media. And listed on those channels was the Tim Pool show. So Tim Pool's got all of a sudden I'm far right. That's how they're trying
exactly
to
exactly the same
it,
thing.
Right?
These guys are bad.
What essentially moderate shows where what were the Overton window? These are just moderates. I mean, Tim Pool, Joe Rogan, heck, they all voted for Democrats not so long ago, and now suddenly they're far right. So they're doing that, and then it comes out as how can they try to stop this hemorrhaging of other people having voices. Now, of course, we're seeing this nonstop, whether it's taking Parler down and censorship and canceling. We don't need to explain to this audience because most of you have been censored or canceled in some way. But we had our very illustrious person that might be president, thinks they'll be president, Nikki Haley, is not even her real name. And she said the other day, if you heard, that her campaign pledge she gets in is you got to be registered to use the internet. Right? Here you use social media. You have to get an ID. You got to be badged and you got to be regulated so you're accountable for what you say online. Now, hopefully, and I'm sure that is the death knell to her campaign, but the fact that she's getting revved to that level, on top of course, you know, bomb, 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 Iran, it's probably like a new song. So that is the system responding or trying to, with Chris Christie screaming out on these shows, Nikki Haley, the Republicans all complaining that Donald Trump won't entertain these debates. Like that elder generation that will not let go. I'm watching now in real time as there is like the Suckertash? What was it? That cartoon pink lion, whatever, and all of a sudden the cane would come out on stage and yank them off the stage. That's what it's like. Like the generation is not leaving, and now the cane is coming out, and the younger generations that have been told to shut up and sit down, and it's not your time, and we're in charge, and we're going to censor you or cancel you, and you're a bunch of kids, play your video games, and they will not give it up. The younger people are going, no. And it's almost like this collective no, like Planet of the Apes, is what I try to start the show off with in a way, is what I've been feeling. And there's a bunch of evidence I want to start throwing out about, and look, it's not all about one event or one week, but it's like I'm hearing on these podcasts especially, most of them are younger people, a lot of them are all millennials.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.